Okay.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black. You know, it's nearing prom and high school graduation time, the perfect time for parents to talk with their teens about underage drinking. The good news is recent reports show that underage drinking continues to decline, and parents are still the greatest influence on their teens' decisions about drinking alcohol. But many parents still find approaching the topic challenging. And here to help start that conversation is educator and certified parent coach MJ Corcoran. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you, Twanda, for having me.
You know, just a scary time for a lot of parents. We have so many accidents around this time and kids losing their lives and, you know, even in the car with other kids who are drinking. And it's just a really hard time for parents. So first of all, tell us about the recent drop in underage drinking. What is that attributed to?
Well, I think it's more of a collaborative effort. It's really attributed to many different things. It's not just one thing. Mm-hmm. But I would say between law enforcement and parent awareness, you know, there's research about brain development and how critical that is during this stage, and then programs like Family Talk About Drinking. I think in combination, all those things affect not just the rates of underage drinking, but also, you know, teens' decision about drinking alcohol is really the primary resource is their parents. They are the number one influence. Mm-hmm. So all of those things combined, I think, attribute to the drop.
I think, too, that it is not the time like now. You should have been talking to your kids kind of a long time ago about drinking, drinking and drugs, actually. I know for my boys, I started very early, probably elementary school.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is a part of the Refresh program of Family Talk About Drinking. Mm-hmm. We've really divided it into three different stages, and stages of not just the children's ages, but of the role of parents. As you said, it's important. It's an ongoing conversation. Yeah. You just may have a different type of conversation,
exactly.
But early on, even mm-hmm. when they're 0 to 7, mm-hmm. you're teaching them about boundaries and limits. And then later, as they reach like 8 to 14, you're actually starting to step back because they're starting to see the world and they're trying to compare and contrast
exactly.
what's okay, what's not okay, how this family does it versus our family does it. But that's another opportunity for parents to continue setting those clear boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they reach the age of 14 to 21 plus, that's really an opportunity that we call it's the coaching model, which is a very powerful way to have conversations, deep conversations, about important topics such as underage drinking,
mm-hmm.
but using open-ended questions and saying, what would you do
exactly.
in a situation
mm-hmm.
like this?
Mm-hmm. Is that what you teach at the Family Talk About Drinking program?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We teach not just the models, but the different stages and how to talk to your kids at those different stages.
So say you haven't talked to your kid about it at all. Now it's prom time and you have this beautiful ninth grade girl or 10th grade
yes.
girl who's never actually gone on a date or been
right.
in that group environment. What do you say? How do you start that conversation?
You know, I think the most important thing is it's never too early or too late to start it.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of the parenting stages is really about learning to adjust our parenting styles to match the children's developmental age.
Mm-hmm.
So a successful conversation really involves approaching, calling them, and asking them more like the coach model. It's very unique, very powerful way to talk to parents and talk to kids. And it creates really that atmosphere for deeper, more meaningful conversation.
Mm-hmm. So give us specific tips. What can parents implement right away, boys and girls?
Okay. Basically, I think the most important part is to exhibit that you trust your teen
mm-hmm.
by setting clear boundaries. And you know what they've been like most of the time, right? So let's give them credit for
mm-hmm.
how they've been prior to this. And make sure that there's that development of trust. Encourage and affirm their good choices that they have made. Listen with an open mind, meaning that sometimes we think we're listening, but all we're doing is telling them and interrupting.
Right.
So allow them to talk and just listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then encourage, you know, their smart decisions by helping your teen think through possible scenarios that involve alcohol. If you get to the party and your friend that drove is drinking, what will you do?
Right.
Who will you call?
Right.
All those type of scenarios that help them problem solve rather than just say, don't drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, just be so open and transparent with them about it, especially if they need to call you. You know,
exactly.
You don't want them to be afraid to call you. And
right.
have to get in somebody's car because they're scared of repercussions, although they may or may not have been drinking.
Right. The most important part is that they know what they can rely on
mm-hmm.
from you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, more information about this, you can visit the familytalkaboutdrinking.com and learn more ways to really help parents talk to their kids about underage drinking.
Yeah, I know when my baby son, who's now 25, went to the prom. The parents all got together and we hired a limo and made sure that we knew the driver. We had a contract with the driver. If there were any problems to call us, he had a list of our names. And
wow.
So, you know, they had fun. It was
yeah.
about 10 of them. And they got a drive to the prom and a drive back, and we were there to pick
mm-hmm.
them up. And so, you know, we made it safe for them, but we
yes.
also put other things in place, and they knew what
yes.
our expectations were.
Yes, and the focus was for them to enjoy
mm-hmm.
and celebrate, but responsibly.
Exactly, exactly.
Congratulations on that.
Woo.
That's success.
Yeah,
Mom.
I think that was the only prom he went to, but boy, it was stressful, especially for you know, some of the girls' parents. I mean, we all got together and really had a conversation about drugs and alcohol, sex. We had a conversation about all of it.
And that's what needs to happen
yeah.
is for parents to really join together.
Yeah. And not think that not my kid.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a huge
yes.
mistake that we make.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an easy thing to do, but boy, it's tough on us in the end.
Yeah, because your heart will be broken, and I can't tell you. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that where a parent says, "Oh, not my kid," and that's
right.
the main kid, and that's the main kid. So,
yeah.
Yeah, please go to the website familytalkaboutdrinking.com. This is the time. We know all too well here in Atlanta how many children we've lost.
Right.
You know, drinking and driving, or driving too
right.
fast, or doing drugs, or being distracted in the car. But we
right.
don't want to lose a child during this
right.
time. We really don't. We really don't. So thank you so much for joining us. FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com. And when they get to that website, what are they going to see?
They're going to see a whole parent guide that they can download
Great.
And read and see the different roles of parenting and the different stages of kids and how to talk to them and the most important tips.
Fantastic, fantastic. Certified Parent Coach MJ Corcoran, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Twanda.
Turn it up. We're going behind the headlines with Veronica Waters.
Hey, procrastinator, why do you always wait until the last minute to file your taxes? Well, you're not alone. IRS spokesman Mark Green tells me 2 million of the 4.6 million Georgians they expect to file this year haven't either.
Can you tell me, Mark, what's the average refund for Georgians filing their taxes now?
Well, this year is up. It's $2,893 to be exact here in Georgia.
Whether you have filed your taxes or not, check your mail. If you get a 5071C letter from the IRS, then ASAP you need to go to irs.gov or an IRS office so they can verify you are who you say you are. Otherwise, your money and your identity are at stake.
So the letters are 5071C letters.
That's correct.
5071C. That's what we need to look out for
mm-hmm.
in the mailbox. Who's getting the letters? Is it everybody who's filing taxes now?
Anyone who has any inconsistencies on their tax return, whether it's inflated expenses, or better yet, you have several dependents on there that you did not have last year, or if there's question marks where individuals' information just don't look the way it should have looked in the prior years. Anytime there's a problem or an issue, we will question that. And that, once again, is another step that we're taking to combat tax identity fraud. So our goal here is to protect the interest of the taxpayer as well as the interest of the government. We will not send out a refund until we verify that you are the correct person. We want to make sure that all individuals get their due share, but we want to make sure that it goes to the correct individual and not the criminal.
Green says they will never call, email, or text you to verify your ID, so don't ever give out your information that way. The IRS had to be proactive about protecting people from fraud because there are so many scams going on right now. Georgia is one of three areas that launched a new pilot program giving taxpayers a six-digit PIN that has to be used on a tax return in addition to your Social Security number. You can opt into the PIN program, but if you do, know that right now there's no way to opt out of it. For this, go to irs.gov/get-an-IP-PIN. Remember, you can always find tax forms you need by logging on to irs.gov, even find a directory where you can search to find a preparer who can do your taxes. Green tells me they've gotten a lot of calls about scams and about bad tax preparers this year.
And speaking of the criminals, you were telling me that these criminals are getting pretty bold when it comes to these tax refunds. What are you guys seeing? What's the IRS seeing them doing now?
Well, this has been a challenging year with the number of less resources that we have and ways of combating tax identity fraud. We're taking that very seriously, and that's number one priority. We have seen an influx of individuals coming into the office. We have seen a number of criminals, I should say, coming into the office posing to be the true taxpayer. And upon investigation, we found out that they are the actual criminal. So we have had another...
Wait a minute. Let me back up here, Mark.
Okay.
You're telling me that the guy who's trying to steal my tax refund, or the lady, let's say, who's trying to steal my tax refund, is going somewhere and pretending to be me.
Exactly. Into our office, and they will state that they have yet to receive a refund. They filed it X amount of days. And we, of course, question them. And after questioning the investigating process, we discovered that they are actually the scam artists or the criminal who are coming in trying to check on a bogus tax refund that they actually filed.
Have you ever seen anything so bold?
Not in 29 years. Not where the individuals are bold enough to appear on our doorsteps and question us why they haven't yet to receive a bogus refund.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
And did they get hauled away in handcuffs? Please tell me they didn't just get to run out of there.
We have procedures in place for those individuals, so we strongly recommend that you don't do this.
The IRS may be looking for you, but that could be a good thing. They've got over $31 million in unclaimed refunds for Georgians who didn't file taxes for 2011.
There's 36,200 Georgians who have yet to file a 2011 tax return, and the average refund is $628.
Wow.
Now, that number could go up or go down a little because there's a number of credits that you may be eligible for as well.
Like the earned income tax credit. Some low and moderate income workers could be missing out on more than $5,700 more by not filing returns for that year. IRS spokesman Mark Green says most of them were college students, part-time workers, or retirees that year, entering or leaving the tax season.
But if they had any withholding whatsoever, that's their money.
But this is the last year you can get it.
Otherwise, that $31 million goes back to the United States Treasury.
And you can wave bye-bye.
Exactly.
You can wave bye-bye.
After April 15th, midnight.
Get the tax forms you need from IRS.gov. And what does the Affordable Care Act have to do with your taxes? Turns out, a lot.
Well, the most important thing is to go ahead and get the coverage. If you haven't received the coverage, check to see if you're eligible for an exemption. There's been a number of individuals' returns I filed personally for individuals because that's what I do for free, of course. And these individuals were eligible for an exemption. They receive a letter from the health coverage marketplace with a certificate stating with the number. You just apply that to your tax return. The other good news is that those individuals who may be eligible for a premium credit, those individuals may have to file to make the adjustment if they received it back in 2014. For the individuals who are responsible for the individual shared responsibility payment, that could be costly.
Because what does that mean, individual shared responsibility payment? What does that mean?
That's the payment that you make if you don't purchase health coverage.
The penalty. Right.
You can call it that, yeah.
So, I mean,
but
that's what
payment.
It is. Like, if
right.
if you don't purchase the health insurance as required, then you're penalized. You have to pay a fine, right?
You have to, and we call it payment You could call it penalty, but it's an individual shared responsibility payment that you pay into.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Okay.
I got you.
Okay.
All right. All right. So this payment, this payment that people have to, is that simple on the form too?
It's that simple on the form too. Is, you know, the payment that can actually be costly because, of course, it's the greater of $95 or 1% of your adjusted gross income. A lot of times people hear the smaller amount. Look at the 1% of your adjusted gross income, then you'll see how much more you have to pay. Now, that does not include if you are responsible for your dependents as well. So you got to take those individuals in consideration as well.
Even if you owe, there's no need to hold on to your return because you owe money. You can file electronically now and set your automatic payment for April 15th. People who haven't finished filling out their return can get an automatic 6-month extension through the free file link on the website. And now more than ever, do not let your guard down when it comes to protecting your identity. Watch out for phony phone calls, fake emails, and websites. Be careful what you click. Mark Green says the IRS will not send you an email about a bill or refund out of the blue, and they won't call you up. Meanwhile, the IRS is working to hunt those crooks down.
Now, will we be able to stop them all? No. Because as we speak, a new scam is coming in place. There's, you know, the mindset, well, these calls are coming from outside the country. No, they are here in your neighborhood. There are copycats. There may be someone in your own neighborhood who realize how easy this is to hide behind a telephone or an internet, send out an email or send out a text, harass an individual to get him or her to cough up their life savings, or better yet, provide their social security number and personal information. And then once they do that, of course, they use it for their own personal gain. So if you get a call purporting to be from the Internal Revenue Service stating that you owe money, you're going to get arrested if you don't pay immediately, simply hang up. Do not ever get in a dialogue with these individuals because they do tape your conversation and learn as much information as they can about you. They do harass you. They do cause stress. So just simply hang up. That's the bottom line.
Behind the Headlines with Veronica Waters.